Typhoon Dolphin made landfall in Zhejiang this week, subjecting a vital tea production hub to unprecedented rainfall. Simultaneously, the Global Center for Jasmine Cultivation in the South continues to navigate the aftermath of severe seasonal inundation. The typhoon produced winds of about 150 kilometers an hour, but wind was only the beginning. Reuters reports that from August 7th through 11th, Zhejiang received an average of 215 millimeters of rain, the most ever associated with a typhoon making landfall in the province. Taizhou, where Dolphin first came ashore, averaged 438 millimeters. 13 weather stations across China broke single-day rainfall records as Dolphin's enormous moisture field continued inland. Flooding, landslides, and transportation disruptions followed. More than a million people were evacuated across eastern China before and during the storm. Roads were flooded, flights were canceled, and authorities repeatedly warned of landslides in mountainous areas. For Ti, Zhejiang deserves particular attention. It is one of China's major tea-producing provinces, and its tea gardens occupy precisely the terrain made vulnerable by a storm like Dolphin. Hillsides where extraordinary rainfall can wash away soil, overwhelm drainage, block rural roads, and isolate factories. The most important qualification is that China has not yet released a reliable province-wide estimate of the acreage of tea destroyed or the metric tons of tea lost. Record rainfall may not result in the equivalent loss of tea, but the disruptions are certainly real. Tea bushes can survive storms that temporarily make harvesting impossible. Roads disappeared beneath landslides, electricity failed, factory access was interrupted. In other words, tea can remain physically present in the garden while becoming difficult or expensive to harvest, manufacture, and deliver. Fuding, the northern Fujian home of China's internationally important white tea industry, appears to have avoided the extraordinary rainfall experience further north in Zhejiang. Dolphin's eventual landfalls were Zhejiang rather than Fujian. Reuters reported nearly 99,000 people evacuated in Fujian as a precaution, but there is still no credible evidence of widespread destruction of Fuding white tea gardens or factories. Meanwhile, another Chinese tea supply chain is recovering from a different weather disaster. In Hangzhou, in Guangxi, known as the world's jasmine capital, extreme July flooding struck jasmine fields at the height of the summer flowering season. Xinhua's latest recovery report says about 110,000 mu of jasmine fields were affected across 9 townships and 31 jasmine tea companies suffered damages. Hangzhou has about 180,000 mu planted in jasmine, nearly 3/5 of which was touched by the disaster. That matters globally. Hangzhou produces approximately 80% of China's jasmine flowers and about 60% of the world's total production. These flowers are the essential ingredient used repeatedly to scent authentic jasmine tea. The good news is that jasmine is recovering. Xinhua reported flowers being harvested early in August. Earlier industry estimates suggested production could take roughly 2 months to gradually return to pre-flood levels. But flowers lost during peak bloom cannot be recovered later, and that influences both availability and the cost of repeatedly scented higher-grade jasmine teas. Business insight. No one now puts the probability of a very strong El Nino event above 90%, with 69% chance that the October to December 2026 episode will reach historic levels. China's extreme weather underscores two critical tea supply vulnerabilities. The first, geographic concentration. With Hangzhou producing about 60% of the world's jasmine flowers, a single local flood could affect the entire global industry. And consider deliverability versus availability. Typhoon dolphins show that surviving bushes matter little if washed out roads, landslides, power outages, or factory shutdowns prevent tea from reaching buyers. Climate resilience now requires evaluating regional concentration, local infrastructure risk, and the speed of supply chain recovery. Flood damage to approximately 30 tea gardens has placed tea at the center of a Psalms recovery effort. A destructive wave of flooding swept through the Upper Assam tea belt after heavy rain and a reported cloudburst in neighboring Nagaland sent water surging into rivers flowing towards the Brahmaputra Valley. The Nazira subdivision of Sivasagar was among the area's hardest hit. Flooding was also reported around Jorhat, Golaghat, and Teok. The Tea Association of India said almost every estate in the affected Nazira area was submerged. The water entered fields and factories and also worker housing, hospitals, schools, and roads. Assam Minister Ramesh Teli said approximately 30 gardens had suffered serious damage and could require at least a month to recover. But that estimate appears to describe the initial return to operations, not complete rehabilitation. The Tea Research Association at Toklai has visited the affected area. It reports that relief efforts remain underway and says that more attention must now turn to recovery for tea workers and their families. A relief camp operating inside a tea estate at Teok illustrates how closely the humanitarian and production emergencies are connected. The tea loss has not been quantified. There is no verifiable public estimate of the plant acreage inundated or the volume of green leaf and made tea lost. Timing matters. July is an important production month immediately following Assam's prize second flush. Tea that cannot be plucked at the proper stage cannot be recovered later. It becomes overgrown while factories remain idle without fresh leaf. Longer-term damage will depend on the depth and duration of the flooding. Prolonged waterlogging can suffocate tea roots. Fast-moving water can strip topsoil, expose roots, and destroy drains, roads, and young bushes. Silt and contaminated water can delay the safe reopening of factories and worker settlements. The wider disaster has killed 100 people and affected more than 700,000, according to Assam's chief minister, who estimated statewide repairs and rehabilitation will cost more than 1,000 crore, it's about $105 million USD. The test now is not simply how quickly factories can restart. Recovery must also restore worker housing, healthcare, schools, water, supplies, roads, soil, and damaged tea fields. TBiz South America senior editor Horacio Bustos writes that Argentina's geographical indication for tea is moving from government registration into active commercial use. The national government protected the name Tea Argentino in December 2024. The current development is in its implementation. Producers and manufacturers are adopting the production, auditing, and traceability requirements needed to place the GI seal on their tea. In Misiones, government reports that 15 companies now participate in the system. They range from artisanal and specialty producers to cooperatives and industrial exporters. Participating factories must demonstrate that their tea comes from the designated region of Misiones in northeastern Corrientes. Technical audits examine production processes, quality records, and traceability before companies authorized to use the seal. The GI links Argentine tea to one of the world's southernmost commercial tea regions. It's relatively high latitude, rolling terrain, and iron-rich red soils contribute to a profile described as smooth and subtly sweet with relatively low astringency. Argentine tea is also valued for producing a bright, translucent, cold infusion. Argentina remains best known as a large volume supplier of black Deaver blends and iced teas, but its specialty producers also manufacture white, yellow, green, black, and oolong teas. The GI gives both sectors a common protected identity. It also offers a direct financial incentive, qualifying origin-certified exports displaying the required markings can receive an additional government reimbursement equal to 0.5% of the export value. Business Insight. Registration protects an origin, but it takes market adoption to determine whether that protection creates value. Argentina has now entered the more difficult stage of converting from a government designation to a quality promise recognized by buyers. The participation of 15 companies gives the initiative useful scale, while audits provide the discipline needed to protect its credibility. The seal will command a premium only if exporters consistently link it to a traceable origin with dependable quality and a recognized sensory profile. Argentina is no longer simply declaring that its tea is distinctive. Its producers are beginning to take that distinction to market.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.